And now, begin secret underground internet-only transmission, podcasting from the Howard Street Red Line CTA station. This is another edition of Outside the Loop Radio, Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine.
Here we are. I can't believe it. Episode 10.
We've made 10 weeks.
Incredible. 10 weeks.
They said it wouldn't last.
Oh, baby. Here we are. Outside the Loop Radio, episode number 10. How are you? I'm Mike Steven.
And I'm Andy Herman.
And we are podcasting exclusively from OutsideTheLoopRadio.com because as of yet, nobody will put us on the radio.
You know, it's their loss.
Yes, it is.
This is a great show.
I enjoy this program.
I'm proud to be affiliated with Outside the Loop Radio.
I think we're a little biased, but we're still proud nonetheless.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
No, sir. You look very good today.
Thank you. You like my hair?
I do like your hair. What have you done to yourself?
I didn't brush my hair today. I've been wearing a hat, and it's starting to get to annoy my head, so I took the hat off, and the hair is just flying.
You have a rather large cranium, though.
Yes.
So when you wear
a
hat.
It's ginormous.
Yeah, when you wear a hat.
And you can sympathize with that.
Yeah, but I don't wear hats. I just don't.
You're
look
right.
I don't look good in hats.
I've never seen you in a hat.
I have a huge. Look at this. Look at this hair. It's like 10 pounds of hair.
That's a big fro.
I have a man fro. When you wear hats, I've noticed that when you put the hat on, you wear it for a long time, and then you take it off, you get this red indentation across your
right.
forehead like it's too tight.
Well, in my case, you say I wear hats, but that's not true. I wear hat.
Right.
This is the only hat I can find that fits me.
The Ohio University hat?
Yeah, because my head is ginormous.
Not the Ohio State hat.
Thank you.
But the Ohio U hat.
Yeah, so I wear this for, I don't know, a half hour and my head starts to hurt. When I'm laying around the apartment, it doesn't matter.
What do you mean it doesn't matter?
Well, it doesn't matter. I can take my hat off. No one cares.
But when you come into the soundproof
booth. But
when I come
here, and it's just with you. You understand.
Yeah, but we're.
Your head is also huge.
I know, but I'm telling you, I don't wear the hats.
I want to see you in a hat.
I don't think you do.
You should get a bear's hat.
Oh.
Let's get bear's hats together.
I love. Wait, you're from Ohio. Are you a Bears fan?
I live here, don't I?
Well, yeah.
Dude, I've been here I'm going on 9 years.
So you're a Bears fan?
Sure. I love sports.
I might kiss you.
I love sports so much.
Yeah, you're a regular meathead. What is this? Oh, Outside the Loop Radio. Hi, everybody. We are podcasting, Andy. We are podcasting this week from, this is very exciting.
It's been a while since I've been up here.
The CTA Howard Red Line L Station.
With our soundproof box.
That's right. Every week we take our soundproof box to a different area in Chicago, and we broadcast from there. The Chicagoland area, I should say.
Yeah, we got a lot of strange looks carrying this in.
But here we are, in the middle, right by the turnstiles. We've locked ourselves in here.
People, we're not blocking anything.
No, we're out of the way. People are kicking the booth sometimes as they run to the L to try to catch the train. But this is you're right. You've been you used to go up here a lot. You used to work up
in
this area.
In Evanston.
I used to live in Rogers Park, so I was here all the time. We could go over to the Morrisland, maybe go over to Ennui.
Okay.
Or the Heartland.
I've been to the Heartland.
Of course you have.
What's that bar right next to the Heartland?
The Red Line?
Yeah.
We've
met there before.
Yeah.
That was
we've met there before. we've rendezvoused, like it's some secret thing. We met at the Red Line.
As I remember, that was a rough night.
Yeah. Well, I think where did that
I
night
think we
end up?
Started at the Red Line.
It ended up in Andersonville or something?
I don't even know.
Well, anyway, there's a lot of neat places up here. We can go up into Evanston later on. We could go, there's a cemetery up there. Go
right.
Run around.
Run over to the lake.
Run to the lake. Go up to Tommy Nevin's.
All right.
And go over to the keg with all the NU students.
Yeah.
Why are you laughing?
Nice use of the cough button.
I've got a frog in my throat. I'm getting over something. We should just say that Outside the Loop.
You know, there's pills for that now.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't want to deal in your drug ring, okay? Andy's like the Colombian drug lord with his pager. And
what?
And your brick phone, your brick cell phone with the antenna that's like 3 feet. Don't pretend like you don't have it. I know about you, Herman.
You're on to me.
Anyway, this is Chicago's Almost Above Ground audio magazine, as if you couldn't tell. And we've got another great program lined up for you this week. We come out every Thursday, so be sure to check back to OutsideTheLoopRadio.com every Thursday for another edition of the show. And you can download it and take it with you wherever you want, or just listen to it online. Click on the feed burner link. Andrew, why don't you tell us about what's happening later in the program?
Coming up a little bit later, we're going to be talking with the guy who used to be behind the Bruin View. An excellent place. You've been there.
I love the Bruin View.
And Dennis Borowski is his name, and he left town at the end of October.
So we'll find out what's happening with Dennis.
We're going to reminisce a little bit about the Bruin View.
That's correct. Also, we will read some email that we have received.
Fan mail.
You love fan mail. Thank you. Oh, that's for the fan mail, not me?
Yes.
Okay.
And we have some news about our intern. Did you hear about
Biff? I got the memo
about
Biff.
Yeah, we had to let Biff go.
We'll talk about Biff later in the program. That memo, by the way, came from Danny, our lawyer.
Yeah.
And we're going to start the program by talking about transportation in Chicago. Transportation in Chicago. Very important stuff. Seriously, very important stuff.
Yeah, I transport all the time.
Because people constantly gripe about parking tickets, traffic congestion, and I'm one of those people, and so are you.
Yeah, just stay home.
Andy?
Yes, Mike.
You know, one of the most frustrating things for me as a Chicagoan, you know the answer to this, is driving.
And you drive a lot.
I know, I hate it. I hate driving. I hate it so much. You know, there was a time when you're younger, like 16, and you first get that license, and you want to drive everywhere. You'll drive to get a gallon of milk. You'll drive to pick up your brother or sister from your friend's house, from soccer practice.
Or you'll just go for a ride.
Or you'll
no reason at all.
Yeah, you'll just burn gas and drive around the block. But see, what happens in Chicago, when you drive the car, you must park said car. Now, when you park said car, you get these placed on your windshield.
Those look like tickets, Mike.
These are bright orange tickets from the City of Chicago Department of Revenue. I have two in my hand right now for $50 each. And guess where these were from? From the Wrigleyville area in Lakeview.
Surprise.
Yeah, where parking is insane. Like, one block is permit parking. The next block, it's good times. Anyway, that's one of my beefs about transportation in Chicago. We thought we'd take a look at some other transportation issues as well. And to do that, we bring in the transportation reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. Her name is Monifa Thomas. Monifa, can you pay my parking tickets, please?
I have to pay my own first. I took that one last week.
Yeah, I hear you. And the thing is, they're really expensive. I mean, the average that I've seen is $50.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, pretty much the only thing cheaper than that is if you don't pay your meter, and that's $30. But other than that, you're going to be paying at least $50. You're right.
Well, now, I noticed I used to live in that area of Lakeview, Wrigleyville, where the parking is really restricted, and there's a lot of permit parking. Does the city just make a killing off of Lakeview? Because it seems to me that that's the area that has the most permit parking.
Well, it definitely, I don't have the specific numbers in front of me, but it has a lot of permit parking areas. And because, you know, you've got Wrigley Field over there and you have a lot of foot traffic and people that don't live in the area, they're coming in to eat or do whatever. Yeah, you probably do get a lot of people getting pinched for that. So,
what's the rationale or the idea behind having permit parking? Is it because you've got so many people from the suburbs coming in during Cubs games that they'd park there? But why have permit parking in these various areas of Chicago?
Well, I think especially for neighborhoods like that, again, yes, when you do have all these people that don't live in the area but are constantly coming in, I think people that live there, you know, they want to have some assurance that they'll be able to park somewhere. And if you do it in a garage, I mean, you're talking $150, $110 a month, and mm-hmm. people don't really want to pay that. So in a lot of cases, you know, they're going to push for that, having that spot on the street.
I guess Wrigleyville is a place that, even after the Cubs season, mm-hmm. still a lot of people come down from the various suburbs to that area, and they, especially on the weekends, because trust me, on the weekends past like 6 o'clock, there is no parking to be had in, especially Wrigleyville, but at Lakeview, it's very difficult.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I lived there for a year and I found the same thing. So it's definitely, you know, because you have so many restaurants, so many things to do over there. And I now live in Uptown where there's not nearly as many things. And so I find myself constantly going down there, you know, and then parking is always an issue. So, yeah.
Talking about tickets, it seems to me that when I look at a street sign mm-hmm. and it, I try to interpret it, I have to do just that. I have to interpret it, interpret the thing, because it says, cannot park here unless you have special permit, blah, 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 LV2 from 5 p.m. to 10 a.m. on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And if it's cloudy outside, then you can park here. But if it's not cloudy outside, then you can't park here. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that those signs, or have people said that those signs sometimes are difficult to interpret, and that would lead to maybe trying to contest some of these parking tickets?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I actually did a story about this. It was more related to the red light cameras that, you know, that just recently came up. But I was sitting in some of the administrative hearings that they have, and you had people contesting regular parking tickets. And yeah, that is kind of one of the main defenses, is that they'll take photos of the sign and say, well, this wasn't clear. I mean, how would you know? You know, how would you know that I'm going to get a ticket based on what this says? So, and a lot of times, you know, the administrative law officer will throw those tickets out if they find cause that that the wording is vague. So I think people should definitely contest their tickets.
By the way, you said you wrote this an article about running red lights that came out on October 30th of 2006 in the Sun-Times. I've got that in front of me. And these statistics are incredible. Between January 1st and August 31st, Chicago's, and again, these are the red light cameras that they've installed now. There are 50 of them, at least 50 of them,
right,
in the city of Chicago. They have produced tickets against 210,964 vehicle owners. That's insane. That's mm-hmm. almost 211,000 tickets have been issued from these cameras, from 50 of these cameras. Of the 6,052 who requested an in-person hearing to contest a ticket, 9% got off. 9% of the 3,861 who appealed the violation through the mail, 11% got off. That's incredible.
Yeah, because it's way more advanced than the way tickets are usually issued, which is you have the police officer write the ticket and then that's kind of their evidence. But now, you know, you've got video, you've got photos. It's a lot harder to even make the case that you didn't run the red light, or. And especially since the city makes very little leeway on what is a legitimate excuse for running a red light. So, yeah, you pretty much, I mean, you have a much harder time beating those tickets.
So are we going to see more of these red light cameras installed throughout the city?
That is what the city looks to be leaning towards, so yes.
Wow. You know, my poor dad got one of those. He ran a red light. Well, he claims that he didn't run the red light. He said it was yellow when he was coming to visit me. And apparently the flash bulbs went off, and I think he's going to be getting something in the mail very soon. But it's incredible. I've seen those tickets, and they take a really detailed picture of your license plate.
Mm-hmm. Now, video, I mean, is even more clear. So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Now, do they get a picture of the driver of the car? Because that's one of the other issues. It doesn't matter who's driving. The owner of the ticket.
That's right. If I take
Andy's
car,
gets the ticket.
If I take Andy's car and I run a red light, Andy still gets the ticket.
Right, yeah. So usually the photos that I've seen, they don't really get a great picture of the person driving, but, you know, it's just sort of the photo of the car before it runs the red light and then right after. So, you know, you get the progression of it, and you get, I think, about 4 photos in your ticket.
Well, let's just talk about the whole issue of traffic in Chicago. There are a lot of places that are congested in the city of Chicago, not even necessarily on the highway, but, for example, during a Cubs game or any sort of major event, it seems, in various areas of the city, if one street is blocked off, one fairly major street is blocked off, it really has repercussions for blocks and even miles around, doesn't it?
That's true, yeah. And, you know, you have the traffic management aides who are trying to help people and trying to direct them. But, you know, sometimes I've heard from people that, you know, are driving in the city that sometimes they say that they find it very confusing and they're not entirely sure that they really do that. They're that helpful. So it's kind of, you know, so the city has those people out there and they're definitely trying to help, but, you know, they get kind of mixed reviews from people.
Yeah. Who are those people? Those are the people that are in the streets with the neon yellow vests that direct traffic. I've heard from friends and other people, I can't believe those people are directing traffic. They're not cops. Who are they? What do they know? Who are those people?
Well, they're under the Office of Emergency Management, and so they're city employees, but basically, and they're not always in the same place at the same time, which anyone driving around probably notices, but they're just kind of deployed for high traffic areas where you have people, you know, you have a lot of traffic and you have a lot of foot traffic as well, so they're trying to help the pedestrians make sure that they can get across the street, as well as, you know, trying to direct vehicle traffic.
Well, let's move on to another traffic issue here, since we have you with us. The CTA, the Chicago Transit Authority.
Yeah.
So much has been going on with the CTA. We've heard about budgets and money concerns and, of course, the brand new Pink Line, which opened up this year. Well, what's up with the Pink Line? Does that seem to be helping or hurting, or what are people saying about the Pink Line?
Sure. It's another one of those things where you're getting mixed reviews, because I actually was on the Blue Line today, and you hear people, some saying, oh, wow, it's great, you know, I get to work so much faster, and it just cuts out all this extra time that I'm on the train. But then you have other people who are not too impressed, and they actually think that it adds time to their commute, and, you know, it clogs up the loop because you have all these elevated trains going around there. So it's kind of, I would say the jury's still out. I mean, it's been operational since the summer, and I think people are still making up their minds, but I haven't heard one consensus one way or the other.
What about this idea to connect all the lines? Because a lot of the lines, they converge in the loop. But let's say if you're on the Blue Line, if you're in Wicker Park, and you want to go up north on the Red Line, you've got to take the L into the city, and then from into downtown, rather, and then go up towards the north side of Chicago. But
right.
is there some idea to connect the lines that branch off west and northwest to the lines that run north and south?
Sure. You actually, a lot of the transit agencies, Metra and CTA basically, are really looking hard at trying to do that commute so that you don't have to keep going into downtown just to go back out again. They're trying to, Metra has their Star Line that's kind of very much in the early stages. Same thing with the CTA Circle Line that, you know, will be wrapping around the west side and the northwest side and trying to connect Metra lines, but also connect people so that they don't have to go all the way downtown. And, you know, that should help, but that's years away from happening. So it's kind of, you know, the thinking is that they want to get to that point. And, you know, right now they're connecting the Blue and the Red Line tunnels. They're working on doing that at Block 37. So, you know, they're doing things here and there, but I think it's going to be a while before you really see that kind of just kind of being able to skip the loop if you don't have to go there.
Right. And finally, the traffic on the highways in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. If you are traveling on, and I know this from experience, if you're on the Kennedy or going towards the Edens between 7 and 8 o'clock in the morning, you might as well forget about it. You might as well bring a book, because every morning it is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Where that Kennedy and the Edens split, mm-hmm. that it's terrible. What is there anything being done to relieve this congestion? I know there are signs everywhere saying take public transportation, but if you can't, mm-hmm. man, you're in trouble.
Yeah, it's definitely something that, definitely needs some work. And I think right now a lot of the focus of the road projects is on the Southland. So you have, you know, the Dan Ryan, the Kingery, a lot of those expressways are under construction right now. You don't hear as much about the Kennedy-Edens split, even though that is, to me, it's a huge problem. And I would like to see some more stuff happening there. So it's kind of, but yes, I can definitely commiserate with people, especially since the Edens is being worked on now. And, you know, it's just, it's bad.
Yeah, and traffic times, I think they doubled or they went up a bunch. Mm-hmm. Over the past couple of years, it's insane. So I guess if you can, take public transportation, because as of now, I'm telling you, you might as well bring War and Peace, because you can read it cover to cover on some of those expressways.
Mm-hmm.
Monifa Thomas is the transportation reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. Are you sure you don't want to pay my parking tickets?
Believe me, I have two that are unaccounted for right now. I got my own problems.
Oh, man. See, that's not good. That's not good. Well, thanks for giving us some time, and we'll check in with you again from time to time, because transportation is always a very big issue in Chicago, and maybe by the next time we talk, all of our parking tickets will be taken care of.
There we go.
By Andy.
Well, they better be.
We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you.
So, Mike.
Yes, Andy.
You did receive that memo, right?
From Danny, our lawyer?
Yes.
Right here?
As referenced earlier, we've had some trouble with Biff.
Our intern.
I don't know if you had a chance to read through that memo.
No, I've heard about it. This is the first time I'm looking at it.
Yeah, but apparently what Biff was doing was going through our petty cash fund.
Which isn't much.
All of $10.
Right.
And how he got caught and how he got the memo from Danny. He took Danny out for beers.
Uh-huh.
Trying to climb the corporate ladder, as they say. Trying to jump ahead in the ranks of Outside the Loop Radio.
We have an extensive corporate structure.
We do.
Here at OTL.
You can't just jump ahead. It takes years and years of service.
You have to butter up properly.
Right.
The managers, your superiors, over a long period of time.
He didn't bring us nearly enough coffee.
No. So
he was a little uncooperative.
So he took out lawyer Danny for beers with our petty cash?
Right. And Danny, he never turns down a drink.
No, of course not. He's lawyer Danny.
But when he found out where the money was coming from, we're very proud of Danny. He did the right thing. And he released Biff from his duties.
And he also took the drinks.
Of course.
Right.
We haven't seen that $10.
So Biff is out, but we need a new intern,
We're looking for new interns here. Well, a new intern at Outside the Loop Radio. And how would they get in contact with us, Michael?
That would be, Andrew, info@outsidetheloopradio.com. That's our email address. info@outsidetheloopradio.com.
And contrary to popular belief, we do read all the emails.
Yes, we do. By the way, speaking of the website, how's your class at Harold Washington coming in web design?
It's going all right.
That website might be in need of a little tweaking, my friend.
Yeah, about that. The class is not living up to the promises of the first session. I was very excited. And I don't know. I think I'm going to have to do the work on my own.
Oh, no. You're a college man now.
I'm a college man. I was so excited. I still might get the Harold Washington sweatshirt.
I hope you do. And then you get into movies for discounted price. And what else?
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
I have a student ID again.
You have a student ID.
Discount tickets.
All right. Speaking of contact info and emailing us and all that stuff, we always encourage people to email us at info@outsidetheloopradio.com. That's what Sean did. Sean sent us an email, and I have it right here. And I want to read this. He says, Mike and Andy, just finished listening to OTL episode number 8.
I like how he has the lingo down.
Yeah.
OTL, baby.
If Sean were local, we might be able to hire him for, you know, our intern position. But he's not. Where is he at? California?
He's in California.
Really good show. I enjoyed the interview with Kara Caravu. I met her a couple times back when I was a student, and she always seemed like a really cool person. Sean, she is. She's very cool.
She's awesome.
Yes, yes, yes. The voicemail bit was funny, but also a bit disturbing. Has Mike ever been counseled for codependency? He may need the help of a professional. Sean, that's all he writes.
And I wrote back, yes, he does need help, but for the sake of the show and for our lack of petty cash. Mm-hmm. No counseling. But Sean, thank you for writing in. Sean is a former Illinois resident, and he also has his own podcast at hypernonsense.com.
Fellow podcaster.
We have a community now.
That's right.
We're part of the podcast revolution.
It feels good.
It does.
It burns. In a good way.
There's ointment for that.
Is it time to cue music?
Should we roll the tape?
Do we cue music? Do we roll tape? Danny? Somebody, I'm gonna go ride the L. I like the red line. What? I have to tell you what I did last week.
What did you do last week?
One of my most memorable experiences by far this month. I went to go see Snakes on a Plane at the Bruin View.
How was the movie?
It was terrible.
But that doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't, because it was at the Bruin View at the Vic at Belmont and Sheffield in Chicago. The Vic is an awesome theater. They have bands there all the time. But they also have this great thing called Bruin View. And if you're in Chicago, most likely you know about the Bruin View. If not, you need to go check out the Bruin View. What they do is they drop down a giant movie screen on the stage at the Vic Theater, and they show movies, and you could go into the theater, sit down, drink beer, eat pizza or whatever, have a good time, and just, you know, be crazy, rowdy, yell at the screen. Stuff you always have wanted to do in a movie, you can actually do. And my God, trust me, Snakes on a Plane, when Samuel L. came on, the whole crowd, yeah!
I can imagine the crowd went
God!
Nuts.
Of course, I stand up, and what do I say? Mace Windu! Because he's Master Windu.
You're such a dork.
I am a total dork. Well, the guy who is instrumental in the success of the Bruin View for so many years is Dennis Borowski. And Dennis was in charge. He was the manager of the Bruin View, right?
For many years, yes.
And he is no longer in that position. He has since moved from Chicago, and we have tracked him down because I think the Bruin View is a total Chicago thing, a total Chicago destination.
Oh, yeah.
You come to the city, you got to go to Bruin View.
One of my first memories.
Oh, really?
When I moved up here, I saw an Adam Sandler triple bill.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. One of my fondest early memories of Chicago.
It was, what was that movie?
Billy Madison.
Billy Madison.
Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore.
Wedding Singer.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It was good?
But it's one of those things you do in Chicago.
Dennis is on the phone with us right now. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, guys.
Good to have you on the phone with us. Where are you now?
I am in San Francisco, California.
So you've made the trek from Chicago to San Francisco, and that's where you're living now, right?
Yes, I am.
Now, how long were you over at the Bruin View?
I was with the Bruin View for 8 years.
8 years. And how did you get that gig?
Actually, they came looking for me.
Really?
I worked for Cineplex Odeon for 12 years prior to that, and then they came looking for me, and their manager was actually leaving to become a Chicago police officer. And then they turned around and said, hey, we'd like you to do this. You seem like a perfect fit, and I accepted, and it started it in 1998.
The idea behind Bruin View, where did that come from?
That originated by two guys who had this idea to use the Vic Theater in its off time when they didn't have concerts, and they were going to do the Bruin View. So they got together with the Vic, the owner of the Vic, and landed an agreement to do it in any time that there was no concerts. So one guy had the idea, one guy had all the theater equipment, and one guy had the building.
Uh-huh.
So you put all three of them together, and, well, you end up with Bruin View.
Now, when was that? Do you know what year that was?
Ooh, that was about 14 years ago now.
So the Bruin View really has been around a long time.
Yes, it has.
Over your 8 years there, you oversaw the operations at Bruin View. But what did you like the most? I mean, going to the Bruin View for me is so cool because, like I said before, it's like going to a movie, but it's everything you've ever wanted to do in a movie, like scream at the characters on the screen, you know, just get rowdy, slam a bunch of beer, and cheer or, you know, get crazy when these movies are playing.
Well, my favorite part has always been working with the public. It was my ability to go to movie theater without all the rules. If you wanted to put your feet up, go ahead. We're not going to stop you. I only had basically three rules. Don't get drunk, don't hurt anybody, and don't abuse the staff.
Yeah.
As long as you abide by those three rules, pretty much everything else was fair game.
Well, I think I've broken rule number one a couple times at Bruin View, Dennis, just to be quite honest with you, but that's okay. I've always treated the staff very nicely. So thank you for all of your hard work over the past 8 years. And now you're enjoying San Francisco?
Warmer weathers.
That's very true.
Warmer weathers. It's all about not shoveling snow.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll be getting into that pretty soon. But you enjoy the weather out there. By the way, where are you from originally?
I'm from Chicago.
Okay. So do you kind of miss the Midwest, the city?
Well, I've only gone for, you know, 2-3 weeks now, but, yeah, a lot of hills, a lot of turns, you know, your ears pop when you go to drive someplace.
Yeah.
You're never going to hear anybody complain about that in Chicago.
Do you think, maybe there's any chance that you'll be getting involved in a Bruin View-like facility out in San Francisco?
Well, I can neither confirm or deny that at this moment.
I see what you're saying, my friend. Well, keep in touch with us here at Outside the Loop, and we just wanted to check in with you and say thanks for all the hard work over the past 8 years at Bruinview. So thanks for all that you have done for everyone here in the city, for us going to Bruinview.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
And we'll talk to you real soon.
Okie doke.
That Dennis Borowski, he is a dude.
That guy's going to go far.
He has a high dude factor.
Dude.
That's genius.
That's all I got. Sorry.
You've been listening to another edition of, in fact, the 10th edition of Outside the Loop Radio, Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine, released each Thursday on OutsideTheLoopRadio.com for your downloading and listening pleasure, or you can just stream it online. Just click on the feed burner link. I'm Mike Steven.
I'm Andy Herman.
And we have been broadcasting from the CTA Red Lines Howard Street station. So lovely here at Howard Street.
It's getting late.
Yeah, we should probably pack up the portable soundproof booth and find another location for next week.
Yeah, we'll find another location for next week. Episode 11.
And speaking of...
with brand new features.
Yes, sir. Brand new features on next week's show. We won't reveal just exactly what those are just yet.
We're still developing some new features down the road, so we don't know what's going to be available next week.
I've got one that we have to do.
Yes, I need to start writing.
Yeah, one that involves you. I think that's going to be just
genius.
Absolute brilliance right there. Was that it? Was that it? Hold on a second.
Way to back time it.
We usually time that thing out perfectly.
Dude.
Copyright 2006.
Albert James Productions. Info at...
OutsideTheLoopRadio.com. I'm sad.
We need a new intern. Help us with the back timing.
Good show, though.